Ayo, you are now tuning into Cultivation Conversation, starring my man Captain Autoflower and the Real Green Monster. So lay back, light one up, and let's get this conversation going.
Hey, is it better now? You know what it is? I set it up to my phone. I think that's what the deal was. I was high and it was only set up to my phone and not my earphones. Yeah. I did a dab right before we got on here, and I was like,
guys, it's the Real Green Monster coming at you with another episode of Cultivation Conversation. I'd like to take this moment to talk about our sponsors. One of our favorite products and something we all use and believe in is AutoPot. AutoPot manufactures, it's a simple-to-use, gravity-powered automated watering system. Their system requires zero power, no pumps, no timers to operate. It's a plant-driven automated watering system that is so precise, it'll actually reduce consumption of water and feed by an impressive 50% while increasing yields. This is designed for both novice and professional growers in mind. AutoPot creates the perfect system for growing effectively and efficiently at the same time. Let your plants feed themselves. Use code THEREALGREENMONSTER10 for 10% off your entire order at AutoPot USA. Also, Fishhead Farms, Fish Shits. It's a product that me and the captain both believe in wholeheartedly. If you're not using this, you're quite honestly just cheating yourselves. Fish Shit is a tremendous microbial product that will increase terpenes, yield, help your nutrients work more effectively. It really is a fantastic product. Use code CC15 for 15% off your entire order at fishheadfarms.com. Last, but certainly not least, we have Elevated Lighting Company, formerly known as Budget LED. This is a veteran-owned company that really believes in their products. They have amazing customer service and even better products. If you'd like to get yourself one of the top grow lights on the market, use code CAPTAINAUTOFLOWER for 10% off. That's CAPTAINAUTOFLOWER for 10% off. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show.
All right. We are back. Third time's a charm. Third time is a fucking charm.
So for everybody listening, we invited two people from Brothers in Farms Genetics on. We have Baz for the third time and Bucky. Baz, unfortunately, we had to kick him off the show. Not because he was misbehaving, just we could not get a clean connection with him.
Yeah.
Something every 5 seconds. Just kind of, it just doesn't make for a good flow. So
it was pretty tough. He was on like some 2G shit.
That more like Edge.
Yeah, that Boost Mobile for sure.
Yeah.
He's out there in like West Texas or something. I don't know. You know, like
that's tough.
But, yeah, whatever. We're going at it again. So
yeah. So we got
glad
Bucky
to be here,
on.
Boys.
How you doing, Buck?
What's up, Bucky?
Good, man. Glad to be here. Glad to be on your guys' cast. We do appreciate, as I said earlier, I appreciate all the love you guys show us and vice versa. Fucking, I'm happy to finally make the show.
Yeah, well, man. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, it's I mean, look, the thing with Brothers in Farms, it's easy to promote breeders that are thoroughly testing their products within the community and are selling beans at a reasonable price, not gouging people.
For sure.
I mean, yep. At the end of the day, everybody wants to make money. But, you know, there's no reason to charge like $300 for a pack of fucking seeds.
No.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't even necessarily go as far as to say everybody's like the most in-depth breeder. I think these are a lot of passion projects. You're seeing people get, you know, clones either from seeds that they've grown or clones that you know in the community as being elite, and then they're working with that in their own ways, kind of creating their own their own spins on things, their own strains. And cool. I don't necessarily think it's driven towards hype or any of that other shit. It's more of like a passion project that's tested amongst the community. So it's more than just that. Yeah. And I agree. I don't think that you should have to pay, you know, whatever, $150 for a pack of regular seeds. I think that's fucking outrageous.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, everybody's got to make money, but I mean, I feel like there are a lot of people that are just being kind of greedy.
Oh, I agree 100%, yeah, man.
And
especially when you're talking about untested gear. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, most of it's untested. That's the thing. Yep. These guys are just chucking pollen and then selling the beans on based on their reputation.
Off of one or two really nice pictures, you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of crazy. Like, I always used to think InHouse was notorious for that shit. I don't know a whole lot about what they do, but I do know that they can sell a lot based on one or two pictures, and they have.
Yep. Yep, and I mean, they made their reputation off a couple of famous strains, one of them being like the Slurricane, of course.
No doubt.
And so anything they sell now, they'll just sell out and people will pay whatever.
Right, like, they kind of have that going for them now.
That's how the breeding works, guys. Right, you know, you get one hit and you're all, you know, it was all of a sudden everything you do is all the rage. Doesn't even need to be tested anymore, you know? It's just...
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. I think that's what we're doing differently, though, to bring it back to home. Yeah, it's all in-house, kind of. You're not going to see anything that's put up for sale unless it's been germ-tested, community-tested. It's been put through the ringer. You know, everybody's on different experience levels that are growing these strains. And, of course, everybody's in a different environment. So you're going to see a lot of different expressions and other shit like that. So it's you're not getting the same thing, you know, the same same process from everybody. Everybody's different. Yeah.
That's one of the coolest things. Like, you know, just kind of scrolling through your guys' website. If you're going and looking at the latest seed drop or in any of the shop section, you can see like the, where is it? The cannabis strain guide. Is that what I want to look at?
For sure.
Hold on.
Yeah, we went pretty in depth with that. We like doing that.
Genetics guide. And it's like it's a PDF that comes up, right? And it talks all about each strain you guys do, and even breeder descriptions and cultivation considerations. Wait, were you guys listening to the podcast when you came up with that title, Cultivation Consideration?
Could be.
I'm just playing. Like, what else are you going to call it, I guess? But it's great because, you know, you talk about how, you know, you had one guy who was doing it like in DWC. You had one guy who was growing it outside. You had one guy growing it in a tent. One guy doing organics, one guy using salts, and it's just, I mean, you run the whole gamut, man. It's like,
sure,
these strains are kind of proven.
And that information's all in one place, and so you're not scattered all online looking for that. One of the things that bothered me a lot was, you know, all the mainstream breeders would come out with these strains, and it's like, there's already something else new out by the time you would have even gotten through that grow. So you're never going to get to like line up with the people that are growing that same strain, you know, unless you're using fucking hashtags or whatever else, you know, it's all over the place. You know, we kind of put it all in one channel and you get to see everybody's different grows of that same strain, and it's all the information's there.
For sure.
I think that's nice.
The Discord is awesome for, I mean, new growers, seasoned growers. It's just, you have to be able to grow more or less. Sure. But are you guys having open invitations at the moment?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cool. Yeah. And cool. I think we've had the doors open for a little bit, and it gets to be a little overwhelming. Honestly, it's hard because we do like a voice verification. We just want to shoot the shit and know everybody's intentions kind of before coming in, and make sure they're not fucking cops. That's for our ability. And, you know what I mean?
You gotta do what you gotta do, man. You gotta see who you're working with, you know? It's
for sure. And we push the community aspect, so we want to make sure we're bringing good, or you know, some people take it to the top of the mountain, they turn out to be shitters, but we want to make sure we're bringing people in that are, you know, adding something to the group, you know, whether it's testing, growing, or their knowledge, you know, because They're work from all different walks of life. We got guys that are stuck in 2x2 tents because that's all they can do. And then we got guys with full growing facilities that they're managing. So from the top to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you need, you know, if you're looking for help on the Discord, you're certainly going to find it. You get a lot more than just help, too. You probably get razzed a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be able to take a ball busting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty fun place. If you don't have a sense of humor, then get the fuck out.
Basically. You guys know I'm putting Baz through the ringer after this one, too.
Hey, you know, we're not letting that go. Not too much, man. You know, like,
you want me to take it easy on him? Come on.
It's all in fun. He's a good guy, but yeah, his internet sucks donkey dick. Bro. Holy shit. Well, so
I want to start a Kickstarter for him.
Right. GoFundMe. Help Daz. Help Daz get a new Wi-Fi connection. So one of the cool things that I love about your website is the cannabis knowledge base, is that without even going through the, you know, Discord initiation process, even if you're just some jamoke who comes in off the streets and wants to, you know, know how to grow a weed plant, you get this cannabis knowledge base where you got all sorts of articles about, I mean, literally the latest one from December was how to deal with tall, stretchy cannabis seedlings. You know, then it goes through like perlite and cannabis, the basics of growing and coco coir. And you can, I mean, you want to learn how to grow from people who've done it. There you go. That's a repository of information right there that, like, it's hard as shit to find that kind of stuff, to be quite honest, when you're starting up.
For sure, man. It's like I said, with everything being so spread out, there's a ton of different outlets for information. And when you're first starting out, I mean, even if you're not first starting out, if you're still hungry for knowledge, it's all over the place. And you could go on Reddit and ask a question and get 10 different responses.
Oh my
and it's,
God.
It's beautiful. It's like you got to kind of choose something and kind of see how it works for you in process of elimination and so forth. But yeah, I think in terms of all those articles, we wanted to put everything in one place to kind of pick up the brand a little bit, because we want to promote in-house tested gear and showing that we're going through the right processes. So this is going to show people that might not have a whole lot of knowledge, you know, good go-to articles, published articles.
It's great.
Like that.
It's great, man. It's, you know, just because there is, I mean, a lot of people, myself included, you know, when you want to learn how to do something, like in these days, the first thing you do is go to like the subreddit for that specific hobby that you're into.
Yep.
You can learn a lot, you know, right there. But like Reddit is this weird, I mean, people call it like the hive mind, you know, and it's a lot of times the consensus is pretty accurate, but I mean, I'm sure you'll say the same thing. Like when you're talking about like growing and auto flowers and shit, man, like they a lot of times do not lead you down the right path.
No.
Or you will end up like, you know, clicking on links that just take you to these shady seed banks and shit like that. Where,
sure.
I mean, yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
So, you know, people just, if you start off with like the right source of info, that's kind of, you know, a big thing.
There's a lot of toxic people like on Reddit too, you know?
Yeah. Fucking I always say you're never going to learn to grow by reading. You're going to learn to grow by growing.
Oh yeah.
Because you can fucking be, you can be a book smart, but you might not know fucking shit. You got to get your hands on and kind of figure out what works best for you and your environment. And that's all trial and error shit. You're never going to hit a grand slam right out of the park unless you have somebody lace you up really nice and knows your setup, knows your environment.
Truth. And then, you know, once if people out there, you know, are interested in joining up and getting on the Brothers and Farms Discord, it's kind of just like a, like you guys like to call it a bar atmosphere, where it's like you know, come in, you see all familiar faces, all people you know are growing, you know, they're you know, there are some just home growers like most of us out there, or there's even guys running professional setups and entire, you know, multi-light rooms and stuff like that.
Right.
So you got everyone, and you can come in with a problem, post a few pictures, and get a live response.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, you can jump in voice if there's people in voice and mix it up and, you know, network, you know, kind of step outside of your comfort zone a little bit, because everybody here is here for a good reason. You know, nobody's out to get you. Nobody's, you know, trying to misinform you for a good laugh. It's all everybody trying to help everybody, and it's a good atmosphere.
For sure. But you gotta be able to take a little bit of shit. That's the only catch.
Especially for the guys that have been here for a long time. We got super thick skin. You gotta know you can't be super soft. We try and take it easy on the greens, but you gotta know. Yeah, you gotta have a little thicker skin.
There's been plenty of people that have come and go because they get butthurt. You know,
100%.
Can't take a little razzing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, I know. We were joking around. Somebody said, you can't be Nazis. And I meant, it was like just a simple, you know, kind of like a stupid joke. We were just brushing it off, but that turned out someone left over that. It's like, I can't please everybody.
I can't even talk. Like, just anything political, like remotely at all anymore is just kind of like a no go for
politics, religion, done deal.
But that's why we're here, to talk about weed and growing and breeding and all that fun stuff too. But so tell me now, all the three tries of this episode are up blending together a little bit for me. So maybe you could refresh my memory if you told me about Bucky's breath in this particular segment.
I've never heard of it.
What is it?
Please tell me, sir. Please, I want to hear about it, because I've heard about the mythical, you know, Bucky's breath strain through the grapevine of Brothers and Farms. I want to hear it from the man himself.
Right on. I made the strain in 2018, just kind of messing around. I had purchased a pack of Velveeta breath from Thug Pug, and a pack of French cookies from TH Seeds. And I didn't initially start off with the idea of making the strain, but I had a male, and I didn't really want to toss it at the time. It was a nice male. It smelled like a fucking, I always said it smelled like a pack of Kraft mac and cheese, like the cheese pack in there. It was so cheesy. And that was always one of my favorite strains from back in the day. It was
orange
cheese. Yeah. Yeah. Super deep. It made your nose snarl, you know what I mean? It was almost repulsive. So I love that. That was one of the things I liked about it. I had a nice male.
I just need to stay there for a sec. It's so funny how you know, weed people talk like, you know, like, oh, I had the nastiest smell, man. It smelled like old Band-Aids and like wet rocks. And it's just like, I had to keep it. I had to keep that one. Like, it's that's the winner.
It's funny. I like good social smoke. So it's like, if you can bring something around that'll turn some heads and have people asking questions, that's, I like that. Yeah. Bringing that kind of butt around.
Oh yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing. I had grown some Cherry Garcia. I got a cut from my buddy, and that it smelled like absolute the dankest, like cherries, like maraschino cherry jar. It was unbelievable. That was some of my favorite, like, just social smoke to bring around, because it got people, you know, involved. It wasn't just, we're going to go smoke some fucking weed. It was, people wanted to talk about the weed you were smoking. It was different.
Yeah. Well, that's when you know you got something special. That sounds great, man. That's cool. Continue, please. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good.
I went off on a tangent.
It's all good. I had a badass male with the Velveeta breath, and then I was growing the females out from TH Seeds at the time. And it's a Platinum Cookies bag seed, but it's something that they've had in their strain catalog for, I think, close to 30 years now. So it's something that they've had on deck for a while. It's a pretty stable strain for them. And I figured, fuck it, I'll just hit them and see what we get. And I sent the seeds out to a couple of my buddies after I grew it. And it had this, it picked up a lot of traits from the father. It was just like a cheesy, rubbery funk. I didn't get a whole lot of traits from the female as far as smells go, just more so in structure and, you know, bud structure. But it was like a really cheesy offspring, and it got me fucking super pumped, man. It was exactly what I wanted. I want cheese that I can grow. Fuck, I got enough seeds for my lifetime now with what I made for the F2, so it's nice.
I'm just still holding on to a few of those F1s.
I know, buddy. I got to get you some F2s, too. I appreciate you sending those back. Yeah, there was another story. I shared the love a little too much. I sent it out to everybody, and then I didn't fucking have any for myself. So I was like, damn, I really wanted to remake that. I reached out to a couple guys, got some seeds back, and worked up with enough stock in the space I had to pick a few good candidates and made the F2.
I saw on the Discord that you said it's pretty similar to the F1s.
For sure, yeah. Super, super frosty and super cheesy. And that's pretty much what I'm going after.
Like you said, like that deep Velveeta, like, you know, macaroni shell cheese too. I love it.
Yeah.
That's a cool description.
And like the inside of a tennis ball. That's what I say for the rubber. It's like the inside of a fresh tennis ball rubber. So it's okay. Like, holy shit, it's got a little, you know, it does make your nose snarl a little bit. It's like, ooh, hey.
Yeah, it definitely got some earthy, funky tones to it.
For sure.
Yeah, no, that's a great smoke. One of my all time faves. That's kind of what one of the first strains that you guys had, that you got going. Ironically, it was never really available for purchase.
No doubt. It was kind of, if you were here and you were around for the time it was getting made and the come up of Brothers and Farms, then you probably experienced it.
Nice.
I imagine, though, that the F2s will be available sometime soon, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Right.
The wizard is in the works.
That's it. Cool, man. Just got to get them into everybody's hands. Just been trying to focus on kind of going one strain at a time instead of taking looks at a bunch of different strains and kind of just trying to go for uniform strain growth now and try and run some numbers of just one strain as opposed to kind of looking at everything. Because, I mean, everybody always wants to smoke something different, but if you want to take these strains further, you got to look at the numbers. You can't just run one or two.
You had mentioned the Cherry Garcia, too. But I have fond memories of the PBB crossed with that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man.
That shit was fire.
Yeah, it was a looker. It's funny, too, because there's a guy in Brothers and Farms, Space Kook's working up with the Cherry Garcia he bought because he liked it, too. And, yeah, that was one that got a bunch of good reviews from everybody. I think Ethos did a good one there. With that Cherry Garcia, I think it was a freebie he was giving out, but man, that fucking thing had terps, unreal terps, bro.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that one. I've heard of it, the Cherry Garcia.
Yeah, man. Huh? Really unique smoke there.
It's you know, when it really comes down to it, for me,
I wish I had kept cuts around.
It's around. We got it. Nice. If you want the peanut butter breath Cherry Garcia, I know Jay's got a good one. It stacks up really nice, really good looker.
For sure. It's like all my weed will get me high.
I know. I always say that shit.
Not all of it tastes and smells amazing. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of where the difference is made.
Yep.
And especially like,
and that's what I'm after really as a smoker, the flavor.
Oh yeah.
And I have that flavor. Yeah.
Like they all smell pretty good too. I'll give them that. Like they all have these different unique smells, but like, man, if that smell doesn't carry over into the taste at all, then it's just not like,
it falls a little flat. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
It does. So like that for me, that's one in particular trait that like, it's like, you don't see that until, you know, you've grown the plant, dried it, cured it.
100%. You gotta get through the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, you gotta pick which one you're after, and you know, it can get tough. You got to be organized when you're doing shit like that.
For sure. That's funny you say that. I always say the same shit. It's like, well, most of it'll get me high. It's like fucking nobody. I know there was a thing a few years back. There was like the race to fucking race to 40% or race to 30%. It's like, man, we can smoke shit that's 30, 20%. It's like all that shit's, yeah, it is going to get us high, but it's more about the It's about the experience. I mean, fucking, I don't want to think of about it like a junkie experience. I want to think about it like a social atmosphere. Yeah. Like, yeah. Good taste, you know?
And I've smoked shit at, you know, tested at 17% that got me retarded.
Oh, yeah.
So right. Right.
It's all that, like, the entourage effect and even the terpenes that, like, the terpenes get you high at some level. They do.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They do.
For sure. And everybody's different, too. So I think it's funny that it's like, you know, it's, you can get mixed reviews sometimes because it's, everybody smokes differently. You know what I mean? And everybody's tolerances are different. So,
like, I kind of think about breeding. The way I think about building a character in like a role playing game, video game, right? Where you're like, you're setting up your guy in the beginning, and it has like a set number of points that you have to fill out the values for like all these different columns. And it's like, for your plant character in the game, I guess it would be like bud structure, frost level, vigor, you know,
bag appeal,
exactly. Sure. You know, color, I could think of 30 different categories, really. I mean, there's so many.
Little checklist for you.
Is it kind of like a zero sum game in the sense that, like, you have a set number of points to start with, and if you add points to one column, you're in essence taking them away from another? Or do you think that, like, if you just keep working with better and better strains and picking, you know, better and better parent plants, that you can eventually make like something that does have like 40% and all the terps that you could ask for, you know?
For sure. I think it all depends on what you're looking to get out of it. And a lot of times how much space you have to work with. I do keep like a certain checklist in my head like that. And a lot of times, a lot of that shit, you won't find out until after the plant's done. So it's not just like you look and you know what I mean? It's like you have to kind of grow that out and see that, especially with your males. If you're going to be doing, you know, regular seed breeding, you want to take a good look at your males and know that you're putting good pieces into the pie, you know, good ingredients in it. Fire in, fire out is what I always like to think about. If you have good starting material, you know, good genetics in your starting material.
Oh, for sure.
Everything should be coming out great. Granted, you took your time with it and looked everything over. But I keep a checklist like that. But like I said, it's a lot of times you won't know till after you even smoked the bud. I mean, like I said, it could, like we said earlier, it could look beautiful the whole time you're fucking growing it, but it could just fall flat at the end and back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just that particular pheno that falls a little flat and something else in the bunches, you know, comes to life a little bit more, and then that's, you start focusing on that if that's a little more prevalent. But yeah, I think it's kind of, you kind of got to fuck around with it a little bit, but know that you got to put good pieces into the pie.
All right, that's fair enough, man. I, you know, it's, there's so many mysteries still about, you know, how the plant works and how the breeding works,
for sure. Yeah, there's always learning, man, always.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really cool how it all works, but that's why we love bringing on guys like you to talk about it, for sure. I want to hear a little bit about the latest seed drop, which, I mean, do you have any strains in that one?
No, not in this drop. I should have Bucky's Breath getting tested out this year.
Cool.
Depending on how fast, how many people are interested. I already got a couple people wanting to test it out, so hopefully I don't have to wait too long to see some of the other grows from other environments. But
nice,
hopefully I got some coming out. But yeah, no, we just had four strains drop from the guys and brothers. We got Big Mac from John, which was like his touch of Mac, from Cabulator.
Cool.
Bellanose dropped a Galactic Reserve,
and that one's just like an auto, right?
Mm-hmm, regular auto, which was it was like a Cab Anvil cross, which was something that was done in-house. I know him and another guy had linked up and had traded some of those seeds of the Anvil, and it was hit Cabernet there, and that was part of the part of the equation. But yeah, that's a nice look. I've actually smoked that one. A girl in the Discord grew that out, and it pressed well, and it was a beautiful strain. I was like, damn, what is this? She's like, oh, this was the tester that Galactic Reserve. I was wow. like, oh, get the fuck out of here. That was awesome.
Well,
that was
pretty fun. Just looking at the lineage on it is, you know, you got Space Jam, which is double grape crossed with Ripley's OG. Mm-hmm. So you're taking like a real frosty, you know, gassy, grapey one, and you're adding size. You're adding vigor.
And color too.
And color, yeah. Sure. Like, you know, one thing, you know, Ripley's itself, I grew a couple months back, like just straight up Ripley's. And it was like huge plant with, yeah, vigor and everything. But like the buds were not, yeah, not as terpy and kind of a little bit fluffy too. So like it was definitely something you could take as a building block and right. add to something like double grape and make something incredible with.
For sure. DG's been used to put a bunch of other projects in the past from Brothers and Farms, even some of the ones that aren't up on the website anymore. It's I think a lot of the auto guys back in the meth pet days when everybody was kind of running double grape, there's a lot of guys that have a lot of love for that strain, and for good reason. Oh, yeah. I think that was a big winner.
I mean, I say it all the time, the auto game, at least right now, if you like the best autos you can find, like 50% of them have, maybe even more than that, have grape terps going on in some way, shape, or right. form. And I think that's because it all, like, people love double grape, and they've been breeding right. with it. They've been doing all, right. you know, working with it. And there's even, it's not just double grape too. It's, you know, there's Sour Stomper, there's Grape Crinkle, there's...
We've got White Grape, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
We got
a bunch of grape variants, and it's like grapefruity and grape into the mix, but I don't know, that's one of the terps we've hung on to, but there's a guys that are getting a bunch of shit going that's a little bit different, and it's nice to see... some different stuff come in. I mean,
oh yeah,
I fell in love with the grape. I could still smoke that shit any day of the week.
All day.
Yep. But
there's
it is nice to mix it up
a
little bit.
Like you're 100% right. It's like if you gave me a jar of double grape, I'd be completely happy with it. I think even Monster would agree. It's like, you know, there's it's that bright,
double grape's fire.
Bright green, just gassy, you know, kind of, it can be your all day smoke sort of thing.
Yeah, Monster knows. You grew the monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew some pretty big ass double grapes.
Fucking
hell. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and the auto pots, man.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up. But so like we're talking, you know, you have all these grape strains, and it's a shame that his audio didn't work out, because I see on the list of the latest drop, Baz has a strain called Questionable Grape, which
yeah,
is
sure.
a funny name for sure. And that's like, I mean, it looks like every grape strain you could think of mixed up. That sounds great. I mean, can you talk about it at all?
I can just talk based on the things I've seen and heard, just from reviews.
Yeah, that's all you can
just
do.
To touch a guy in there, Aggie grew it, and he said he gave some to his dad to smoke, and his dad thought he was, you know, having a heart attack. It was just like crazy. And that shit always makes me laugh. It's like that's the shit that it's always a good review.
Yep,
in my eyes, like,
yep.
Yeah,
take me to the hospital, son.
Right,
my heart's beating like 200 times a minute. No, that's how you know it's good, man. That's how you get like high school girl kind of high, and
yes,
forget who you are. Yeah, that's
for sure. It's got some good reviews in the smoke reports, which is nice. Everybody's seeming to like it there. But in what I've seen from the grows, I mean, that strain's pretty stable by the looks of it already. You said it's a F5. I've seen full tents of it, and it's packing tents out. So,
oh man, it sounds cool. Sounds like there ain't nothing questionable about it. It's just stable and gonna be.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the questionable name, why it landed on Questionable Grape. I think there was some question as to where it actually came from, but I think he had spoken to dads and got things figured out pretty quick.
Yeah, it's what's up. I mean, like, it's another one that's Sour Stomper, which that's crossed with Grape Crinkle. So, yeah, you're mixing up two of the best. I mean, those are two of Daz's staples, man, really, I think.
For sure.
That he works with those all the time. And so
yeah, you see that's him a what's lot.
Up. That's what's up. You know, not a lot of people can get those night owl genetics. They're hard to come by, guys. It's your chance to get, you know, from the same source, just a different person making the selections. That's all.
That's it.
But sounds cool, man. Now, the one that I'll be real, the one that caught my attention the most was the Pure Michigan 2.0 S1
for sure.
Which,
yeah, I'm a photo guy, so I was looking at John and fucking JT this drop too, because I want to definitely check out each of their gear and their own perspectives. But I had a chance to grab that Pure Michigan 2.0 the Cuddy used in making that S1, and man, she was just a true beauty. Yeah, it was really great. All around great smoke there, man. And a pleasure to grow. I grew it in a 1 gallon. I think that's where I slayed it the most.
A 1 gallon, huh?
Yeah, a cocoa 1 gallon. And I'm back in soil now, and I feel like I'll never be able to replicate it. To be honest, it's kind of heartbreaking, but we'll get there.
Yeah, well, but we can talk about that. I want to hear I for sure. We'll get into how you grow and all that stuff too. I just still want to hear about this. So the Pure Michigan is, let me see, it's Pug's Breath, which is a thug pug strain, mm-hmm. crossed with Oreos. What do you know? What's Oreos? I don't know about
Oreos
that.
Is Third Coast Genetics, I believe, and cool. I think they cool. did Third Coast did the actual Pure Michigan, if I'm correct, and the 2.0 is Thug Pug's version
of it. Well, so, again, it's just like different people making the selections, man. You take,
for sure,
you know, winning stock of genetics and, you know, talented hands can do, it's kind of amazing how different some of the things might be, like if from different breeders, like, but I'm sure they're all going to be amazing is the thing. It's like, you can find, cause I just saw, someone else's Pure Michigan strain, right? I'm trying to think. It was Cosmic Wisdom Seeds. You ever hear of these guys?
I think I did. I think somebody else was offering an S1, which I thought was pretty cool.
They had some nice I believe it was them, and they had a mm-hmm. really nice looking Pure Michigan strain that they just released, and it sold out in a heartbeat, man. It sold out, like, you know, some of these things are just like, they're tough to get, dude. Tough to get. And it's, you know, you guys are always coming through with like what I feel like is kind of this hidden. I almost don't want to give away the secret. You know what I mean? It's like it's
the sauce.
It's too good to be true. Wait.
Yeah, you get a lot of passionate growers and people that, you know, that's the thing you said earlier is, you know, you shouldn't have to get raped when you go to buy seeds. And no. I think for all of us that are passionate about growing, that's something. That bean buying process, I mean, some people are crazy. They'll stay up, they'll set bots on their computers. I mean, you got people that need those seeds and they're working with them. And I think that's how we get a lot of the stuff here is it's people that are just passionate about it. So and then they decide to work with it. And that's how it's coming through the cracks, which is beautiful.
That's what's up. That's why we, you know, find it easy to promote you guys because it's all very genuine. You can tell it's, yeah. I love that you use the word passion project because, you know, not everyone can be like a breeder on the scale of, you know, popping like 1,000 plants to do a
100%. Yeah. You got guys that can, they're only growing in 4x4 tents and, you know, hopefully they got more than one setup if they're breeding, you know, but yeah, it's, you got to kind of work with what you have. And yeah. I don't really think there's a lot of people that, like I said, everybody doesn't know everything. So
no, but
that term breeder full time, it's like, this is all a hobby and a passion.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you take your time and you're willing to learn and you're willing to like get your shit community tested and listen to what the testers say, then like you're following the process, and that's, you know, that's where the best stuff comes from in my opinion. Sure. So, you know, it's all good. It's great to, again, great to have this like hidden community, not hidden. It shouldn't be hidden, man. I think honestly, it's no because doubt. You guys are censored from fucking Reddit for whatever reason. You got this like Hatfield and McCoys thing going on.
Yeah, man, it's fucking crazy. It is, and it's kind of gotten pretty out of control. I don't spend as much time on social media anymore for obvious reasons, but I mean, even the times I did go back to post, I mean, where, as an auto flower grower, I went and I grew autos for one of the breeders here to run some of his gear, and I just wanted to post it amongst other auto flower growers. Yeah. All I did was I put the strain name in. And I got my post removed, and the moderator there removed it because he said it didn't look like an auto. I'm like, bro, like, what is this? And then he asked me who the breeder was, and I told him, and that's when he it was like a done deal. You know what I mean?
Damn.
But it was doesn't just, look yeah, like an auto. You can't just auto. Tell by looking at the fucking picture. Get out of here, bro.
You really can't. Not anymore. Not if you're growing the right stuff. Not if you're doing it the right way.
It was flattering, so I just, you know, I pumped my balls up a little bit on that one.
It's best way you can take it, man. Best way you can take it. Now, talk to me a little bit about your individual growing style. Like, what do you do? I mean, you said you were doing, like, 1 gallon cocoa, but now you moved over to soil?
Yeah, I started... I went from like the Ocean Forest route, which I didn't really like. Then I jumped around to Happy Frog, and I'm out here. I think what's unique about my setup is I'm kind of out here in the middle of nowhere running on well water. So I don't want to go to the store to buy water. I kind of got to use what I can, and it's in a good range for soil. So I've just been going with soil and what works best. I switched recently to, Sunshine mix, and I'm actually really liking that. It's a nice light.
You know who makes that by any chance?
Sungrow, I think. Okay, is the name of the company. Sungrow. But it's like a peat based, I believe more like a peat based pro mix kind of mix. Oh, cool. Nice and light.
So it doesn't have kind of where I'm at much. Like you wouldn't call it like a hot soil.
No, not at all. Gotcha. And it's pretty ground up. Like even with Happy Frog, you still get a lot of barky pieces. Yeah, and, like,
do.
Chunkers.
Yeah, you do. You get a lot of those twigs and shit come in there.
Yeah, just a random shit. Yeah. It's like, what?
Like, wait, how did this happen? How did this get through the screen? But so what do you use then? Like, are you on the mega crop train?
Yes, sir. Yep, thanks to Nick Shook on that one.
Cool.
Big time. That's... mega crop and trays, bottom feeding.
Nice.
That's pretty much
you letting them butt chug. I
love it, dude. I just heard that recently. Yeah. I love that term. That's fucking awesome. The butt chug.
The butt chugging.
I have the valves, but since I'm able to be around my plants more often these days, fucking, I just bottom feed the trays. You know, just flood the trays.
Yeah.
Let them do their
sit
thing
there for a few minutes. It's, mm-hmm. It's honestly like it's pretty easy if you get like in the Fudge. Flow of it, you know, like you just
buddy.
Pour water in that tray and let them suck it up through their butt. Mm-hmm. Like they do. But you can mix in your mega crop, right? Because I mean, it's totally water soluble. It just doesn't and you're using like fabric pots or plastic hole in the bottom.
I fuck with the fabrics more. I think I get a lot of I get plants that are get root bound a lot faster with the plastic pots.
Oh, for sure. So for sure.
I've been trying to switch my whole regime over. I'll still keep plants I'm trying to kind of veg out a little bit longer in plastic, but I don't know. Fucking
yeah, flowering in fabric is the way to go, I think, because they don't get root bound. You know,
yeah, you get that solid butt chug.
Yes, solid. And you can let them get a solid butt chug for sure. But it's mostly about the roots air pruning themselves.
Yeah.
And like you don't get that swirling effect in the bottom of the pot with your 100%. Roots. Just keeps like that's where the roots absorb their nutrients from is, you know, the root tips. So it's like the more tips,
just the tip,
the better. Yeah. Just you want just the tip, but you want it. You want lots of just the tip. You know what I mean?
That's it. I emulated my setup based off a lot of people before me. I think probably like a lot of other people, I spent a lot of money before I got to the setup that I'm comfortable in. And it's all by trial and error. I'm running like a 4x12 room with like 5 trays, and I just try and, you know, like I'm trying a single string base now and kind of just get a good look at one strain. It's easier said than done when you're trying to keep a bunch of good smoke around.
But you mean trays like flood trays? You're putting like a bunch of your fabric pots in one tray?
Correct. Yeah. Okay, so you get like, I mean, if you're just starting them off and they're smaller plants, you can obviously have more pots in the tray, kind of fill it up. But as they get bigger, you'll have to separate them out a little bit to kind of keep the canopy nice and even.
Now I'm picturing like, I mean, I know they have like horticultural, like they have hydroponic flood trays and shit you can buy for like ridiculous markup prices because, you know, you get the cannabis tax at whatever fucking retailer you go to. But one of the things I do is I'll get like the, what are you using for your washing machine?
Yeah, right. At Home Depot, the washing machine drain, the drain pan. Yeah.
And they usually have like a drain set up in it already. Like it's the same thing. It's just not,
right.
You know, you don't get the cannabis tax.
We kind of push the trays from Greenhouse Megastore. They're like, they got 2 to 3 inch lips on them and they're like 4x2 trays. So you can have 2 and a 4x4, so all forth, so nice. On. They kind of, they make different size trays, but yeah, I'm not huge on like the 6 inch depth. You know what I mean? I feel like those kind of trap a lot of humidity. It, like it's covering a good portion of the pot and shit. It's hard to get good flow to the root zone. But I like these shallower trays. It's just a little tougher for some of these guys with algae buildup. That's kind of like the only negative thing with the.
Gotcha.
Really, I don't have that problem too much.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now I just started. I just started myself using auto pots. So you know, it's in essence, it's an automated butt chugging system. One thing I wanted to, I've been kind of thinking about today, and like I wanted to run this by Monster too, because he's the auto pot whiz. Mm-hmm. How feasible would it be? Let's say I wanted to expand my system and like just put a 3x3 tray in my other tent, but run it off the same res. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know.
Oh, you certainly can do that. You could control that whole tray with one valve.
With one valve. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I could put one valve in that tray. It's just
They sell like these covers. It's like basically just a weighted cover to hold it down so it doesn't. You put that on top of it and you could run any size tray you wanted.
That's what's up. Now, and it's just like, I probably wouldn't even run it off the same res in that case. I would just use like a 5 gallon bucket or something.
Yeah, the only issue is algae buildup, but you can mitigate it easily by just covering the tray with like poly and then just cut out holes for your plants.
Interesting. I would think that would create more algae, but just like being in the dark and kind of, because algae dark. Needs, yeah, it's like a
algae
plant.
Needs light.
it's a fucking plant. All right. Gotcha. Durr.
You're stoned.
I'm not stoned. You're stoned.
It's funny. You see all sorts of shit, though. There's guys that come in with some creative fucking shit, man. There's a couple dudes in here that busted in with kiddie pools, man. Like the fucking summertime kids pools. Like, you got to make do where you can. And
kids you can't pools, hate on dude. That. That's funny. That's a great idea. Holy shit.
Great, big time.
Oh, my God.
Big time.
I love it, like a sandbox you get from like one of those. It's like a turtle 100%. Shape.
It's good shit.
Oh my god,
dude! I've seen people use like fucking boot trays, like you know, like meant to put your shoes on at the front of the door. Like all sorts of crazy
shit. That's it.
You
can
do. It's so funny, man. It's like now that I like understand the you know the autopot system and kind of just like how fucking simple it really is. Like it's just like water. In like, you know, a tank that's a little bit higher than this valve that essentially releases water when, you know, the plant drinks up the water that was in the tray before, you know, when it's dry, the water comes in. When there's water in there, it gets shut off. It gets just like, it's so simple, man. Like, I don't understand why. I honestly don't know what took me so long. And now I'm just like curious if I can, cause you know, I'm thinking about getting my other tent back up and running and it's like, oh my God, am I going to have to hand water these things? Holy shit. But, I mean, if it's as easy as getting a tray and a single aqua valve and like some polyfilm to put over top, dude, like what, why aren't more people doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Well, because you want to know why. There's two sets of people, like reasons probably why people wouldn't do it. One, you have the unbelievers, like they just think we're shill. You know what I mean? Like we probably don't really use it in real life or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's the other part that's like DIY. What? Like no, their brains just aren't capable of like any kind of ingenuity. Like there has to be directions, and there has to be like somebody else, dude, that have done this before.
That's me, 100%. You're talking about me. Like, I mean, in all seriousness, like I'm not trying to bullshit. Like, I am not a person that knows like how
you've already disproved that just by your logic of thinking. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You want to do it. Like,
I guess so. I had to see it to like understand it though. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of just like I've said before, when I look at the Autopot website, I'm just like, wait, huh? Huh? But it's like,
yeah, it's good to see it in practical uses for sure.
It is. And to understand just how easy it all is. I mean, it's, yeah, the thing works on its own, man. You don't have to do shit. There's no power, no electricity. I mean, and the plants literally take as much as they want.
Shook, are you still on the pot system itself? Or are you on the tray and the valve setup?
No. Well, I should say both, but primarily I have the trays. The thing that I will say for like a larger room, I think that individual pots work out better because you're going to have some plants that may want more water than others.
For sure.
So you get a little bit more control that way. But the trays work great. Like, for instance, they sent me out their propagation system. I have to get it set up and running, but it's like 4 feet long. It's massive. And it's all like just this big tray with a dome and all being controlled by an aqua valve. It's going to make my like cutting so much easier because I'll be able to like cut and root like a ridiculous amount of cuttings, you know, all in one spot instead of having a bunch of like individual dome. Like, dude, you should see it cut. Like when I have to take cuts, like, it's like, all right, I got the cloning machine running over here. I got some like cubes, you know, like tray and the humidity dome over here. I got some like that are just like cut in water with a fucking airstone running to them, hoping that they'll root because I'm out of space. Nice. Now it's like I got this huge, you know, ridiculous machine. It's not even a machine. It's basically just an oversized humidity dome. It's like literally 4 feet long. It's all being controlled by an aqua valve. So
they're always coming up with new shit, man. It's cool too, because I feel like When I heard about Autopots from you, they offered the 4-pot module and maybe like the 8-pot module, and they didn't even have smart pot like upgrades yet. It was all hard, you know, plastic pot. And then it's crazy to see they've come a long way too in just a short
period. Yeah. No, they really have. You know what I mean? And it's crazy. When I found out about this system, I was actually going to buy it because, like I said, it's going to make my life so much easier. Luckily, they sent it out. So I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to set that thing now, up.
One of the things, too, that like you kind of mentioned is like, if you have one valve in a tray, you know, you only get that one valve reading, like there's either water or there's no water.
Correct.
Like with kind of, you know, the system I have, like six different trays with six different valves. So like each plant is essentially drinking on its own. Like I have this one plant, this one cushion OJ that's like twice as big as every other plant in the fucking tent. So like, and that one's probably drinking twice as much as like all the other plants, but it's able to because it has its own aqua valve. So it's just like, you know, you can get as granular with it as you want, I guess. But to not worry about watering and have a tray with a couple autos in it in a tent, like that's, I mean, because with my autos, I give them the same like feed anyway. You know what I mean? So right. It's just,
they can't hang.
Yeah. They just need one aqua valve in a tray, dude. It's game on, game on. So that's my next project, man. I might try to run it off the same res, but I might just set up a 5-gallon bucket and do it that way too.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of that. The kind of like what you're talking about with the individual valves in each individual pot tray is, yeah, if you have the if you source, you know, I know they sell the parts to make, you just need that little grommet, the rubber grommet in a container, essentially, and some hose, you can make a separate res. So if you have something that's seriously not having it, you can pull it right out of the line and just set it up on its own little res and fucking
I set up micro reses. You basically just a 5-gallon bucket and have like just a regular O-ring.
It's a good idea.
The hole and with a barb fitting coming out, and bang, attach your half inch hose to that, and with a shut off valve, and there's your res.
All right,
set up real cheap.
I got an idea for a post for you, man. There you go. That'd be cool. I'd love to see that because I'm probably going to be setting one up, man. What do you use? Like a circular hole cutter or something on that plastic? How would you cut out a hole on a plastic bucket?
Yeah. But basically, there's a couple ways to do it. I can show you a real easy way with just a, like I said, like a half inch hole
saw
with a not just a regular
drill bit or some shit.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Drill it out. Put like a rubber grommet to come with like an old school bong.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just something like that. With the hole, and then you put like a barbed fitting in there, and it's not like a high amount of pressure, so it usually doesn't, you don't have to worry about leaks, but yeah, or with a little shut off valve and you're good to go.
It's so cool. You know, like I think you said it yourself, like some people just straight up don't believe it, but like it's one of those things that like I think you got to be kind of a plant person to understand that like they
dude, we've had so many non-believers. Remember that kid that was posting about like oh, there's no way like this can work. It's, you're not flooded.
Yeah, with the cocoa and the salts building up, and it's just like, no, because like it's if they're only going one way, like it's sort of, you know, it's the same sort of thing, just on a different end of the pot, you know. But
it's funny, you get like people that just read shit and regurgitate what they like read out of books.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
like,
don't even fucking know.
But even just the fact that plants can butt chug, and like if that's the only way you feed them, they'll survive, man, and they can thrive that way. Like they actually seem to it better in some, like I don't know what it is, man, but it's you just
helps
gotta
keep humidity up. I feel like, especially like I think the plants with these trays and veg, it's so nice and easy to achieve like a proper VPD when you got these plants that are all. It's like the humidity buildup and your temperature. Yeah, everything's too easy almost. I
didn't think about that.
Yeah, and they're transpiring more because they're drinking more. You know,
I didn't even think about the adding.
It's not. Humidity. It's the best. Like the thing is the plants are deciding what to drink. You know, so Autopod show, but yeah,
right, truly. Yeah, listen, I mean, we're gonna be doing a bunch of them. I mean, because I'm using them, you're using them. It's just the reality of it. It's like, you know, it's pretty simple as shit, man. Sure. And it's like there's really very few failure points as far as I can tell in the whole system. It's just like it's, you know, growing for dummies, literally. You set this shit up, you get yourself like a good, you know, don't even have to make it hard on yourself. Like I'm trying to do this, you know, fancy organic growing with my auto pots too, but like, I mean, really, like, get some mega crop, or like Athena, one, you know, what, whatever, like a nice, a good one part, and then mix it up in your res and just let them loose. Let them loose, man. Be growing some fire in no time.
For sure. That's what I love about mega crop.
What do you got growing right now? Fuck.
Oh, I got some cuts from a buddy and some of the I did a cross actually with that Pure Michigan we were talking about earlier from JET. I took the original cut he gave me and actually crossed that to Bucky's Breath, the male I had that I used to make that too. Yeah, no, I've kind of kept it all under wraps. But what sucks was I got fucking, I'm in like my fourth week of flower with the strain and everything's looking so fucking beautiful. But I was fucking around downstairs with a bunch of males, kind of getting some looks at some males, and I got super careless and fucking tracked a bunch down and seeded the whole fucking 4x12 full of that strain. So it's kind of, that hit me hard like right before Christmas. So I've had to kind of reset up shop and kind of go through the process again. But I wasn't about to send it through the end with fucking a bunch of seeds, and I couldn't do that to myself. So back to square one.
That's
there.
Hard.
But you
man.
Get that
that's
shit
hard.
On the big ones, boys.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah, dude. You know, listen, you're working with pollen in a small space. I mean, mistakes are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen.
If you don't think they are going to happen, they'll happen. You know what I mean? It's like fucking. That's not the first time I've had pollen hit shit before. It's just kind of part of the game you play. It's the dice roll you take, you know. You got to be on your game and fucking have everything.
I think that's going to be one hell of a cross.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, man. It's got a lot of promise. I think it gets traits from both parents, you know, equally as far as what I saw. But fucking.
You keep me on that short list.
That Michigan is a beauty.
You keep me on the short list there, man. I can...
Dude, just because you're on the short bus doesn't mean you're going to be on the short
one. No, Dave, I'd be happy to have you and either of you guys run my gear, man, as always.
Be in touch, man. I mean, because honestly, that's like those two strains we've been talking about all show. It just kind of, yeah.
For sure. It's
fitting that
I think Bucky's Breath fell asleep. Bucky's Breath fell asleep for a little bit, but I'm glad we got it woken up and resurrected. Yeah, it's going to be coming back. Hopefully we'll see it by, I would like to see it by June this year.
Nice, man.
We'll see.
Nice.
For sure.
Nice. Yeah.
For sure. You know, well, let me see. What kind of lights do you use? I wanted to ask you that too.
I got 480 watt boards. I ordered 5 of them. Or 6 of them from Alibaba. So I went with the Ali route there. But before that, I've kind of been through them all. I've fucking, the first purchase was the Blurple shit, like fucking a bunch of other people I know. Blurple. Fucking threw those out. And then I went and spent big dollars on HLG and fucking, dude, that hit me hard because as soon as I got those HLG boards in, it was almost like people started showing Chinese boards with the same shit in them for fractions of the cost. And fucking, so I was like, all right, if I'm going to upgrade my space, I'm going to have to get more lights. I'm not trying to buy $1,000 boards and shit like that. So I went with the Alibaba route there.
I purchased 16 550 V2s before I figured out the China route.
Dude, that's so crushing. It really is. And nothing against HLG. Fucking, it's just...
No,
it's...
they're great lights. But, you know, true story, I've had one issue with all my lights, the ones from Alibaba and the ones from HLG. And the one problem was with an HLG. Granted, they stepped right up and took care of me, sent me a new.
Yeah. And probably a lot quicker than China would have.
Yeah. 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 So, like, you know, look, at the end of the day, the products are made in America. So you're going to pay a little bit more for that. Mm-hmm. And
for
more
sure
to have that customer service. But in all reality, like, if you find a reliable supplier on Alibaba with good ratings, you're going to get a pretty good product.
Yeah, they're all using the same, like, LM301H diodes or whatever. It's just like,
yeah, you got to do your homework.
The diodes are the same. If they're using, like, the diodes are the same. If they're using, you know, Meanwell drivers or something comparable.
The top-end diodes, usually gonna, all that shit.
Actually, I should say, if the diodes are the same, because a lot of them aren't using the same diodes, but, like, if they're using those Samsung, you know, LM301, I think they have the B and the H, which are supposed to be, like, the H is the horticulture diode. That's supposed to be the better one, but who knows, man? How long does it take you guys to get your lights once you order them from Alibaba? Because I've heard it can take, like, four months, dude.
Now, this all depends on your supplier. I get them in, like, a week and a half.
No shit.
Whew. Man, I wish I got mine in a week, but it's either if you get it expressed or by freight, that makes the difference here if it's coming by ship or plane, for sure.
Mm.
Definitely more expensive expressed, but they definitely take care of you. I think it's probably around 2 weeks. Fucking a week's it's pretty solid if you get that.
Well, its shipping times have been a little bit slower since COVID.
True.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everything has been slower and more frustrating and just more generally awful since COVID. Yeah. That's the point, though. That's the point. But yeah, so I want to ask more about your own, you know, your style here, man. Like, do you use microbes at all?
Yeah, I do. I mix it up with the microbes. It's funny. I emulate a lot of Green Monster style. I don't know if he's still using a lot of the things that he was using back when I saw him, but a lot of the products I use now are shit that he's told me about in the past. A lot of microbes, silica. I'm still riding the Mega Crop train. I mean, I put a little different tweaks on the recipe, but for the most part, I mean, it's pretty consistent. A little kelp, some other shit here and there, PKs, you know, other stuff. But for the most part,
it's a successful, proven method, man. I mean, a lot of people out there know what they're doing. Swear by Mega Crop. So it's not just, you know, making great plants. It's like making the lives of growers easier too, because it's one fucking
for sure. It took the bullshit out of it. I was running advanced nutrients, 3-bottle grow micro bloom. I had great results with that. But I mean, it's just who isn't in favor of, I mean, there's a lot of people that love to be particular, like we talked about earlier, but who doesn't like saving themselves time? Time's money, you know what I mean? All that shit. And,
for sure.
Yeah, I think that MegaCrop was the easiest way to get from point A to point B. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, you can tweak it from there and kind of make it better. But, I mean, you've got a perfect starting block there.
So, just product-wise, what do you like? Recharge? Do you use, we like fish shit a lot here on the show, but there's a lot of different products.
With fish shit.
Yeah?
I fucked with fish shit. Looking behind me, the silica and the CalMag I use is from the company Raw. I've loved their products. I think they make fucking great shit. It's pretty affordable. Yeah. The microbes are from Mycos, I believe.
Mycos. Yeah, I've heard about them.
I use the wettable powder a lot. I think that's the fucking best shit. Like, what it makes transplanting super easy when you can just fucking take
great
a scoop
for
of that.
Transplant, not so great in a reservoir.
Oh no, 100%. We'll sludge up your fucking shit for sure. I made that mistake too, for sure.
I made a freaking heavy. Like, I came in one day and all my lines just like sludge. Oh, the fuck.
What was it? What was it? So I don't make that mistake.
The, Myco's sweatable powder.
Gotcha.
It says you can put it in a res. I mean, you probably could, but nothing.
Even if you had the wave maker, it's staining all your shit and fucking.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably put it in like a DWC setup, and I don't, you know, there's still a debate on whether or not microbes do anything in that type of environment, but yeah. Don't put it in your Autopod reservoir. I made that
okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. For I'm even like, to be honest, I put it in my reservoir. I put fish shit in my reservoir, and I probably won't do that again because it's just, you know, it's starting to smell.
Fish shit's fine.
Starting to smell.
Yeah, but it'll definitely smell.
For sure.
and you could add a little bit of mycos to your reservoir, but you just got to make sure it's just a real small amount if you're really going to do it at all. I don't really recommend adding microbes to your main res. That's why I have, we talked about building small reses. I usually have 5 gallon, small reses, like secondary reservoir set up when I want to feed microbes.
Now you got me, you know, it's like it's all like connecting in my brain now. It's just like how easy that would be to have, like, you know, one res for just pure water and one just for feeding, and just put the line in when you need one and disconnect it when you don't, you know. It's pretty amazing, dude. But yeah, dude, so we got lights, we got nutrients, we got microbes. Talked about what you like to grow. You tell me, man. Like, talk to me about, like, I don't know, something kind of personal about, like, what do you find the most challenging aspect of growing?
I think staying consistent is probably the hardest. When you're running with, I'm not tooting my own horn or anything. You know, when you're running multiple plants and you're a one man operation, it's a lot of upkeep. And like, if you pride yourself on quality and like cleanliness and keeping everything nice and keeping a tight ship, there's a lot that goes into that. And I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of other people, this isn't my full time job. This is my hobby. Yeah. It's something I'm passionate about. Amen. So it's like, it's very hard to stay consistent with all of the things happening in fucking life. You know what I mean? With everything going on, it's like, this is my time. And if I put something off one day, maybe 2 days, cause I'm not really feeling it, it affects you. You know what I mean? It affects your grow.
Brother, you're speaking my language right now. You ain't lying. Cause sometimes life just happens, you know,
no
life
doubt,
happens. And like, it's just, yeah, so, and sometimes it ain't fun either. Sometimes it ain't fun. It's like, man, thank God I got this Autopod system when I did, because I straight up don't have the time to be spending an hour up in my garden watering every day. I just don't at the moment.
Sure.
And it's like, to know that I might even be able to leave my plants for up to a week. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. It's a freedom.
Hey, dude.
It's a freedom on, like, it's a, you can't put a price on peace of mind. You know what I mean?
Really can't. And, you know, saving your own time and being able to focus that energy on something else. Cause, you know, it's just like, as much as we all love growing, it's like, yeah, life, you gotta grow in your own outside life too. And there's things you got to attend to as much as your plants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you hate to do it,
consistency, I think, is tough.
I hear you, man.
Sure.
It's a good answer. It really is, because, you know, it's I would say one of the hardest things in a lot of aspects in life is to just, you know, be on like that even keel, you know, plateau. Don't let outside influences affect you. You know, show up to work every day in a good mood, ready to go, like that sort of thing.
I give a lot of credit to the guys that hit home runs all the time. You see these guys as growers and they're just fucking crushing and crushing. You know that they're super passionate like you are. And I know everybody once in a while, you know, every one of them can't be a home run, but some of these guys are like, holy fuck, man, like just on another level. Hats off, buddy.
There are a lot of them. Are a lot of them on IG, man. You know,
I hear you.
I follow a bunch. Sometimes I'm just like, dude, yeah, it's on another level, like you said. But yeah, no, is there anything else that you want to get into or that you got coming up or that you're excited about? You tell
me. Other than the couple projects I got, which, I mean, fuck, you guys are more than welcome to hit me up about. I would just say some open invite to the Proving Grounds if anybody's looking to join and listening in and wants to.
So why don't you tell people how they can get into the Discord?
There you go.
For sure.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, you can hit up the website, and we've got the Proving Grounds link right in there. Proving Grounds is just that separate server. It's kind of like our gatekeeper, you know what I mean? You have to get through the gate, which is going to be like a little voice verification. One of the mods is going to mix it up with you and fucking poke around and see what's up a little bit. Ask you, you know, find out your intentions, see if you'll be a good fit for the community and shit like that. We usually try and get guys that are, you know, passionate about growing, like we talked about, but a lot of times you get a bunch of meme kings and shit like that. Yeah, the fucking
some edge lords
for sure.
Edge lords, man.
No, yeah, the doors are open for sure. And I mean, I love networking. I try and it's tough with, I mean, I think we have around 200 members, but I feel like I know each and every single member through, you know, certain conversations or just mixing it up with these guys. You know, I think it makes the place pretty special, and you can do some serious networking like that for sure.
Absolutely. It's cool how many, you know, there's just a variety of people and personalities in there. It's
for sure.
There's always something going on.
When you talk about Discord, there's fucking plenty of weed growing Discord. So half of these guys are in multiple places, and you know, everybody's linking up. Nobody's really keeping anybody away, which is nice.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there will, I don't know how we got a lot of new listeners, I'm sure. And I don't know how many of them have listened to the previous Biff episodes before, but there you go. You got the info again. And, it's a cool place, man. Yeah. And at biffbeans.com, you don't have to even get on the Discord server to get some of their, you know, info about how to grow and buy their beans and, some cool hats too, a cool beanie with a like a play on like the Jif peanut butter logo, which I thought was funny.
Some good shit in there.
Shit, you can good even people, buy man. You can buy 3D printed products from growers, man. Like check this out for a selection of handy items. You can get tent spreaders, right? That keep your tent from like sucking in on itself from negative pressure, right?
For sure.
Genius. Okay. You can get super croppers, which are those just little plastic pieces you like hook your plant branches into just to keep them bent. Easy way to do that. You got dog bone branch spreaders, which I'm thinking would be best used to like keep, you know how branches on the same side of a plant are often like right on top of one another?
Mm-hmm. Just push off the main a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just kind of spread those out a little bit from one another. Give them a little space. You got a tent pole clip with hole, which is literally just a plastic piece that you can attach to a tent pole and then put like a... what would you call it? Like one of those metal clips.
Like the carabiners or whatever, yes. These scissor hook and
carabiners,
hook on them and hanging shit from them. And...
Exactly. Have on your like rope, adjustable rope attachment things. You also have strain tags you can get customized, I think.
For sure.
Pretty fucking cool.
Do a lot of different things with the customization on the tags for different strains or pretty much whatever the hell you want on them. I draw that up.
That's what's up. And so then drum roll, please. My favorite of the whole lot. Tent pole solo cup holders.
Facts.
Fucking genius.
When you got no ground space.
Oh, that's wild.
Dude, 100%. So you could have four solo cups off of the ground. More. Yeah, more than a shit, dude. You could have the whole tent pole lined with these fucking things. There you go. All your Bags. Your next generation Bags. Taking up no ground That's in your it. Tent. You make Especially you there. Know autoflower perpetual growers out there. You use the Captain's Solo Cup transplant technique. You'll be fucking golden. I guarantee it. You got yourself 10 to 12 days of growth in a solo cup. You'll be fine. For, you know, photo period growers out there, shoot. Monsters kept his plants in solo cups for almost a year, I think, right?
Yeah, I have neurotoxins that are still in the solo cup.
He's abusing these things, man. That's he's abusing.
Fuck it, throw Bucky's phone in
breath
there.
Before you know I mean? Flowered that out, I had Bucky's breath in a solo cup for fucking like 18 months before I decided to do anything with it.
It's fucking beast.
Yeah, that's how you know they can hold up.
Yeah, I've had males, though. The males, they'll start flowering if they get root bound.
I don't like that shit.
They will certainly try to. Like, I don't know if they get fully into a flower. Do yours sometimes do that?
I've had some do, some don't.
Yeah.
I just know that, like, you know, I haven't seen any females go into flower yet from being root bound, but males have.
Interesting. Yeah, but no, I just think that's so fucking cool. Like, I can have a bunch of solo cups clipped onto my tent poles, not worried about, like, because, dude, I can't even tell you how many times I've knocked over my solo cups when I got them.
Facts.
In a tent with a bunch of other shit.
You double cup them, you know, double cup, then you ain't got shit dripping everywhere. Yep. You can get pretty into it with that.
Yeah.
Fuck around. Yeah, we are.
Just genius,
3D printed
dude.
Shit's pretty wild, man. It's crazy how many different little innovations just in our niche hobby that there are with the 3D printing.
I imagine there's going to be a lot more coming. I just read an article about LED diodes that are able to be 3D printed.
That's so wild.
You know, that's probably future of growing and printing your own LED lights and shit, whatever spectrum you want. You know, how cool would that be?
Yeah, or a Glock. Wild. That'd be pretty cool too.
Or bro. You could even print like your lights. In... oh, wait, what did you say? I'm sorry. I was thinking about
no the lights. Yeah, for sure, bro.
Fuck. I'm gonna have to listen to the episode to fucking find out. It'll be funny. I just, you know, I get like my mind starts going, you know. It's just like you could even have like your printed LED lights in the fabric of the tent that you're using, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's actually interesting. No though, yeah. Light fixture, right on your walls,
like, yeah, printed into your tent fabric somehow. You could have side lighting, under lighting, whatever you want.
That would be the new fabric of our lives.
Yeah, it's not trouble.
The fabric of
Fuck off.
Oh, those are good commercials back in the day, man. Not gonna lie.
Hey, laddie.
So I think this has been a pretty good episode, man. Informative, sure, funny, and you know, I hope we covered enough stuff about Biff in the upcoming drop. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff you guys are doing, and if anyone has questions, just go to the website and maybe try to get in on that Discord server and go find out what's sure. going on.
But shoot us an email, whatever. We're always looking for people to test gear out. I mean, feel free to come in and inquire about that.
Yeah, but don't just do that. I'm sure that's that's, you know, have your manners, guys. Have your manners.
Right. This isn't know? Fucking Free Seeds Bazaar, exactly, motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Yeah, you did it though.
But thank you very much for coming on, Bucky. It's been awesome, man. Talking to you. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was good mixing up with you boys.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. I'm gonna
yeah, glad to have you on, man. It's been a long time coming.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure, this won't be the last, man. Fucking no, maybe we'll do
Anytime.
A little mid-year recap when we do the breath drop.
Anytime. That's what I was going to say. Anytime. Anywhere. You let me know when that happens. Maybe
we'll try to have you and Baz on together. If
We'll try again, dude. Holy shit. I hear you. That was a little bit of a clown show to start, but no, it was kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of fun. And Baz is always welcome back, too. It's if he can get his internet shit figured out.
Done. He's all done. Nah, we'll get his shit figured out.
That's so funny. But yeah, I'm gonna just disconnect you real quick, man, so we can just say goodbye to the audience and stuff. But I want to just say thanks again, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Adios. Sure, man.
Thanks for coming on, Buck.
Of course.
Have a great night, brother.
Yeah. So that was awesome, dude. We had a lot of fun talking to him. He was a very, very, a brotherly brother. What can I say? He had that brotherly love going on.
Buck's a good dude.
Always willing to, I'm sure, help out people and point them in the right direction. If not, bust their balls a little bit first. But it's kind of like all things, man. If you want to get anywhere in life, you got to know how to get your balls broken a little bit. Just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because usually people are going to give you the information. Right. They're just going to have to, bust your balls once or twice beforehand. So, but. Yeah, before we go,
I like the bus balls.
exactly, man. Who doesn't? It's fun. But before we go, we got to say thank you to all the listeners. I know we got a new Patreon. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, you're just going to give me 10 seconds to pull it up here. We got, I don't know his Instagram name, but he goes on Patreon as M3R.
Well, thank you, M3R. We really appreciate it, man. And to all the other supporters and people posting about the show and just even people listening.
He goes on to say that he doesn't actually have an IG.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Shoot, man. I honestly wonder how we found the show then. That's, hit us up on Patreon, man. That's
he says he found it on the he found the podcast through research, whatever that means.
Cool. Shoot, we're showing up through one of the podcast search engines. We must be. To be quite honest, I haven't even looked at Apple or Google Podcasts, if people have the time and can leave a quick review on one of those two sites, I'm sure that helps tremendously. And if we got a couple reviews out there on one of those two platforms, it wouldn't surprise me at all that someone found our show that way. It's really fucking cool, man.
Yeah, we're spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, look at us go. Look at us, man.
We're international, motherfucker.
We are. And, it'll only continue snowballing, hopefully, man. Hopefully. So, you got anything else you want to get at?
Nah, man. I want to thank all the people that are continuing to support us through Patreon, people that continue to buy merch. That's always cool.
Yeah.
Posts and you guys tag us with some of the merch you're wearing or coffee cups, whatever. It's been great. So we appreciate all your support. It's been awesome. Your support actually helped Monster buy a new microphone that's on its way. It should be here actually tomorrow. So
hooray. Yeah. It all helps, guys. And if only just for moral support too, just hit us up with hey, we like the show, hey, good job, guys. You don't even have to give us money. just listen and like the show. But
as Rasta Jeff says, this is one of my favorite things he says: money's expensive.
Truly is, man. It's such a thing he would say. It really is. It can't argue with it. But yeah, that's it, man. It's been a fun episode, and shoot, until next time, right?
Adios. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, and stay lifted, and we'll talk to you in about a week, guys. Peace.
Hey, were you able to save